I'm Matt Katz in for Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. The Summer Olympics are scheduled to take place in Tokyo, Japan this July, but some have raised questions about whether it makes sense to gather the world's foremost athletes during a global pandemic. The 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games were supposed to happen last summer, but were postponed due to the coronavirus. Today, less than 2% of the population in Japan is fully vaccinated, and the country is currently experiencing a surge in cases. So some are weighing the public health concerns stemming from the pandemic and what could happen if athletes traveling from hotspots bring the virus with them. And they're weighing that against the benefits associated with hosting such a prestigious event. With me now is Jules Boykoff, former professional soccer player and professor of politics and government at Pacific University in Oregon. Jules, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you, Matt.
And we also have Jen Kirby, foreign and national security reporter at Vox. Hi there, Jen.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Thank you both for being here. Let's get into this. Jen, what does the pandemic look like on the ground in Japan right now?
Yeah, right now, Japan is seeing one of its worst surges of the coronavirus, comparable to about January of this year when it saw another big surge. So right now, Tokyo and several other prefectures in Japan are under emergency orders that are going to be in effect until the end of May. And of course, as you mentioned at the top, the vaccination rollout in Japan is going rather slowly right now. And so less than 2% of the population is fully vaccinated right now.
And Jules, how do residents of Japan, given the stats we just heard, feel about whether the game should go on?
Well, more and more, we're seeing people across Japan just saying no to the games. Poll after poll has shown that people across the country do not want to host the Olympics this summer. Many are asking now for full cancellation of the Olympics in the neighborhood of 60% of the population in some polls. And this is unparalleled in the political history of the Olympics. There's also an anti-Olympics movement that's gaining more traction and holding events regularly and gaining more people to come to those protests. And so there, across the country, we're seeing a pushback against holding these Olympics during pandemic conditions.
Jules, you wrote an op-ed in the Times titled, "A Sports Event Shouldn't Be a Super Spreader, Cancel the Olympics." And I'm just going to read a quick quote from this article in the New York Times. "It's time to listen to science and halt the dangerous charade. The Tokyo Olympics must be canceled. The situation is crude but clear. Olympic organizers are not willing to sacrifice their profits for public health." Can you expand on that, Jules? What are the Olympic organizers thinking here, and why do you think it's so problematic?
Sure. Well, medical officials in Japan and across the world are clamoring for these Olympics to be canceled. And don't get me wrong, Olympic athletes are absolutely amazing to behold. I love watching them myself, but the Olympics are a wholly optional sporting spectacle, not some essential service to humanity. And so I argued that pushing ahead with the Tokyo Games means possibly creating a really dangerous petri dish that could affect people in Japan and outside of Japan. And if you're wondering why the Olympic steamroller continues to rumble forward, I argued in that piece there's essentially three reasons, and that's money, money, and money. And I'm only being slightly facetious here. There are other factors in play, national pride and trying to follow through with an event that is difficult to do during a pandemic. There's also the fact that geopolitical rival China is slated to host the controversial 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics in less than 9 months from now. But it's rarely so obvious that big money is fueling the five-ring machine. And the International Olympic Committee, which is the Lausanne, Switzerland-based group that oversees the games, they're perfectly content to stage a made-for-TV event that would allow it to collect the enormous broadcaster revenues that keep the Olympics afloat. Let's not forget that broadcasters give about 73% of the International Olympic Committee's overall revenues. Another 18% come from corporate partners. So even if there's no one in the stands, even if no one can come from overseas to watch the games, the International Olympic Committee in a made-for-TV event can still have that money rolling into its coffers.
So there's money and then there's health. Jen, is there any consensus from the international public health community about whether or not these Summer Olympics should be canceled?
I think, as Joel said, most public health experts would say hosting an international athletic competition in the middle of the pandemic is not really a great idea. Of course, it could be, the biggest fear again is the super spreader event, that people come from all over the world, potentially bring variants with them, and then or leave and go spread them over from where they came. You also have, even though foreign fans will not be allowed to attend the Olympics this year, you're still going to have thousands of Japanese people who are going to be staffing the Olympics, working the Olympics. And so their health and safety is a concern. There's a concern from medical doctors in Tokyo that the health system may be overwhelmed, not just from coronavirus, but sort of the incidental things that happen when you have a summer festival, like heat exhaustion. But at the same time, I've spoken to a few public health experts who seem to sort of feel that this event is going to go forward, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea. And so the focus then needs to be, how do we make this event as safe as possible, whether it's through vaccinations or right now the Japanese, the Olympic plan is to have a, sort of semi-bubble. There's no quarantine, but athletes need to have a negative test before they come. They'll be tested while they're there. And so the question is, can we pull off an Olympics similar to, an NBA season or an Australian Open event? And the answer is nobody's really quite sure yet. But if there's a way to pull it off safely, then that's really needs to be the focus if they're going to move forward.
And Jen, they're not mandating that these athletes be vaccinated to show up, right?
No, that is not going to be mandated. For example, in the United States, they're encouraging athletes to get vaccinated, but it's not mandatory. And some other countries have said, like Italy and Australia, that they will vaccinate their athletes. Pfizer did say they are going to donate vaccines to athletes around the world. But then it also raises the question, when we have a vaccine shortage, is this the priority for what we need to be giving, who we need to be giving vaccines to, when healthcare workers and vulnerable people around the world also don't have access?
And I want to go back to you, Jules. In your New York Times op-ed, you mentioned the additional strain that the Olympics would place on Japan's nurses. What's your concern there?
Yeah, well, the nurses across the country and doctors as well are very concerned that they're already overstretched right now, their healthcare systems. People in Japan are already dying at home because they don't have the ability to go into places because there's not room for them. And, I argue that it's time to listen to these medical professionals. I mean, for many spectators, what's most alluring about the Olympics is their audacious impracticality, with thousands of athletes from many sports coming together from around the world to compete in a single place. However, nurses and doctors are arguing that during a global public health crisis, this has potentially lethal consequences. And I think they're right. Pressing ahead with these Olympics really risks drinking poison to quench our thirst for sport. There's the possibility, not the assurance, but the possibility of a super spreader catastrophe that's not worth it for an optional sporting spectacle. And these nurses have been saying there are going to be tens of thousands of people coming into the country. I mean, just the athletes alone with the Olympics is around 11,000. And the Japanese Tokyo organizers just announced the other day that they're going to limit the amount of other people, like officials from the Olympics, to 90,000. That's still a lot. I mean, we're talking about 100,000 people coming into the country, none of whom are required to be vaccinated, coming from places like the United States, Brazil, India, elsewhere, that are really struggling with coronavirus right now. And so health officials are definitely sounding the alarm right now.
But Jules, there won't be fans, right? So that's a significant modification.
That's correct. They will not be allowing overseas fans. They have still not decided as to whether they're going to allow Japanese fans to go to the games and watch from the inside.
Jen, if international spectators aren't allowed to travel to Japan for the games, what does that mean for the tourism economy in Japan? Like, will they be getting much of a benefit from these games anyway?
Right now it doesn't really seem so. I mean, part of the Olympics, or I think the goal of hosting the Olympics, is to sort of showcase your city. And of course, you want to invite in foreign fans who are going to go to your hotels and eat at your restaurants. And that isn't going to happen this year. The other appeal is that they love your city so much and then they come back.
Right. And you can make Tokyo this attractive destination. They come back in a post-pandemic world. But of course, there won't be Olympic Games when they come back. Jules, how do athletes who are slated to participate in the Olympics and have been training for this virtually their entire lives feel about the possibility of postponement or cancellation, this kind of idea that you've proffered?
Yeah, well, the only complicating factor really for me is that canceling the Olympics means depriving athletes of a chance to shine in Tokyo on the big Olympic stage. The Olympics are a huge pedestal for women athletes, for example. They get a high profile at the Games, and that's wonderful. The Tokyo Games this summer were also slated to include trans athletes, really raising the profile of trans people, which is important, I think, in this moment. Also, there's the serious potential for athlete activism this summer, riding the zeitgeist of the Black Lives Matter extended moment. And so, you know, as a former Olympic level athlete myself, I can definitely appreciate how difficult the situation is for athletes. A canceled Olympics would be absolutely devastating, no question about it. And, you know, arguing in the New York Times for cancellation brings me no joy whatsoever when I think of these Olympic athletes reading the piece and I think about all they've done to try to reach their five-ring dream. I don't expect them to like what I have to say, let alone agree with it. But, you know, I hope that one day they'll appreciate where I'm coming from. I think it's important, though, to point out that the International Olympic Committee has foreclosed the option of further postponement of the Olympics, making cancellation the one clear option in my mind. And, you know, the other thing I would just say to these athletes is that there's a larger struggle happening right now around athlete rights. There's groups like Global Athlete that are fighting for athlete rights, and I'd like to work with them. I'll continue to fight for athlete rights. I think athletes absolutely deserve a bigger slice of the Olympic money pie. As it stands right now, they only get 4.1% of the revenues compared to sports like the NFL, the NBA, English Premier League of Soccer, who their athletes get between 40 and 60% of revenues. So 4.1% for Olympians compared to 40 to 60% for other athletes. So these Olympics are sort of embedded in a larger struggle for athlete rights, and I'll continue to fight for those rights alongside them. And also, should these games ultimately be canceled, I think it's really important for all of us to put some muscle behind pressuring Olympic organizations around the world to increase funding for mental health support and counseling, because our athletes absolutely deserve that. It's going to be very difficult if these games are ultimately canceled for them.
Especially because in 4 years, if there was a cancellation, some of these athletes would no longer be eligible or even be able to play anymore. Their prime, I imagine, is right now. There's a small window there, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, the other thing about it, Matt, is that while a lot of the high profile athletes, some of whom have actually spoken out, kind of wondering out loud whether we should actually host these games, like Naomi Osaka, while those high profile athletes are actually insulated financially, there's a number of athletes from lesser known sports who, for them, cancellation carries serious sting. I mean, some of them have actually resorted to opening GoFundMe pages to try to scrounge up the money needed to realize their Olympic dream. And so for them, the Olympics may be their one chance to raise their profile, to attract sponsors, and cancellation could spur both financial and psychological strain. So, you know, I would say also the Tokyo organizers have been issuing these playbooks. They call them playbooks for athletes. And if you're an athlete that looks at these playbooks that talk about how to be safe in Tokyo, I would imagine that you'd start to feel a little bit alarmed. It makes it clear that these athletes are basically participating in the Olympics at their own risk. And it kind of sounds like the International Olympic Committee and the organizers in Tokyo are paving a path for a COVID-19 waiver, which would mean that athletes would essentially be signing away their right to pursue legal recourse should something go awry while they're in Tokyo. So there's a lot for athletes to be thinking about right now. It's a very challenging time for them.
Jules, what kind of costs are associated with the Olympics? This is a mind-boggling number, right?
That's right. The Tokyo Olympics are a perfect example of etch-a-sketch economics, where they say during the bid phase that it's only going to cost $7.3 billion. And in reality, now it's costing in the neighborhood of $30 billion. And so costs have absolutely escalated through the roof, and postponement really hasn't helped. But, you know, that's become par for the Olympic course. And I think there's more people that are aware of that high spending. There's more people that are aware that the Olympics bring displacement and forced eviction. There's more people that are aware that it brings militarization of public space in the host city. And there's more people aware that it brings a certain dose of greenwashing. So, you know, the Tokyo Olympics have really stripped the varnish off the Olympic project. And so moving forward, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
Jules Boykoff is a former professional soccer player and professor of politics and government at Pacific University in Oregon. And Jen Kirby is foreign and national security reporter at Fox. Thanks to you both.
Thanks, Matt. Have a good one.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.